Welcome to the River of Life broadcast, a weekly ministry of South River Baptist. This year, we are studying the book of Hebrews about faith that endures. The journey of faith is filled with challenges and victories. Life-changing faith is not merely instinctive. It's not a happy feeling. It's an act of the will based on God's unchanging word. Now open your Bible to hear Pastor Chris Thompson share simple biblical truths to help us build faith to overcome life's temptations and trials. Here's Pastor Chris Thompson.
Grab your Bibles this morning. If you're listening on the radio as well, we're on Hebrews chapter 12, if you'll find your place there. Hebrews chapter 12, as we turn and enter these last two chapters of Hebrews, where Paul is concluding his arguments and giving you and I the understanding that just because Jesus is better than everything in the Old Testament, because of that, because of this wonderful cloud of witnesses that have gone before us, we need to place our faith in him and have a faith that endures all the way to the end. Hebrews chapter 12, as you find your place there, as you're turning there, let me ask you a quick question. Is there anyone in here who loves to run for, you know, likes to lace them up and maybe you're on the track team? Anyone love to run? I mean, I know some people love to get on a treadmill. I don't know. Some people still like to pay. There's some I know. They like to run, lace them up and go a good 5K. And then there's the others that do those marathon things, right? Even a half marathon. I knew a guy down in Charlotte. He would run these endurance races on the weekends, and they would run like 100 miles in 72 hours. It was insane. I was like, how do you do that? And just, he builds up and he says, I don't know, I can just do it. And he does. And it's pretty amazing. I don't like the run. I'll just go ahead and confess. I did all my running in the Army. I'm done with that. I've pounded enough pavement. And some of you know what I'm talking about. And just running. And you had to learn to sing when you were running, because it was like, let's just run, not just let's run to the mountain, let's run up the mountain. I wanted, you know, the Army said, let's run through the mountain. I was like, yeah, we'd be tough, right? I just wanted to run around the mountain, right? I just thought that'd be easier, right? And that's the journey we're on sometimes. It's hard to believe that we're running a race. Even though I don't like to run much, there is a race I have to run, and there's one you have to run this morning as well. It's called the race of faith. We have to run that. As Christian believers, we've heard the pistol fire, and now we're off and running. And because of the faith that's been born in our hearts, we're running and we're running. The amazing thing is, listen, unlike the competitions that some of y'all run in when you're on the track team or when we watch those events, we're not running for just one prize that only the first place winner gets. The race we're running, everyone is rewarded for running that race. Everyone is rewarded, listen, not just because you compete, but because you complete the race, right? You run all the way to the finish line. You don't pull up lame halfway and say, I'm just not going to finish. No, you run all the way through. We run with endurance the race that is before us. And we want to finish and finish well. And that's why Paul is writing. He's using a metaphor here, an illustration for you and for me on how we should look at life every day that we're taking a step in our pilgrimage, in our spiritual journey. You need to envision it some ways as a race of faith. And by the way, you're not competing with, again, the one to your right and to your left this morning there in the pews. You're not competing with others who maybe started before you. We're all competing, listen, against sin and against death. And we're running that race, and one has assured us of victory. So we fix our eyes on him and we run this race all the way to the end. Where's the finish line? It's at his throne. And we're running until we get there. I love our radio program we have on the radio with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, Running to Win. And that's the perspective you and I need to have in this race of faith. And you know what's amazing? As we run that race of faith, what we need to be reminded is I only have today. I'm going to be running some laps. I don't know how many laps I'm going to be running. And sometimes it's not so much running laps in a circle. Frankly, sometimes I think it's like a cross-country event, right? Because sometimes, if you run cross-country, if you ever had to do that, you run up mountains and down mountains and through some creeks and all kinds of muddy stuff. And that's what life is really like, if we're honest. We have that topography that we navigate in life, a spiritual topography. And we need faith for every moment, every step along the way. And so whatever lap you're on or wherever you may find yourself in your race of faith, God promises today the strength that you and I need if we'll look to him and to help us to endure. We're in Hebrews chapter 12, and there's a therefore here, and that's why this is important. It's a conclusion. It's drawing, summing up everything that we've read up until this point. It's kind of all grist for the mill for the decisions now that we have to make. And because of who God is and because of who Christ is and what Christ has done, there should be a motivation for you and for me to see the others who ran this race of faith and choose to, you know what, not just compete, but complete the calling God has on our life. I want you to stand with me. We're going to read these two verses here this morning and focus on running this race of faith and how we all can reach the finish line. Therefore, now the therefore is there for a reason again. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. How do we run? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Father, again, we're reminded you're on your throne, your Son, there at your right hand. And Father, we are a privileged people to be, Lord, in this race of faith. Lord, thank you, Lord, for calling us, wooing us, drawing us to you. Lord, we come today and wanting to find strength and wisdom and counsel. Lord, as we run this race of faith, we want to compete well and complete the calling you have on our lives. And so, Lord, wherever we may find ourselves in this race of faith, some just are fresh out of the blocks, and others, Lord, have been running for some time. Lord, wherever we find ourselves today, I pray, Lord, speak to our hearts, encourage our hearts, give us resolve, Lord, to finish. Give us resolve, Lord, to finish well. And we'll give you all the glory and all the honor, King Jesus, when we reach your throne and sell and receive the reward for our faith. We celebrate today your great name and the power of your Spirit that dwells within us and helps us in this race of faith. Speak to us now, because your word is alive. So speak to our hearts, and may our hearts be changed. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. This morning you may be seated. Therefore, we've arrived. The author Paul is ready to help you and I apply some of our study on why Jesus is better than everything you find in the Old Testament. But over there in the Old Testament, as we just saw in chapter 11, there's so many lives that demonstrate what he's encouraging you and me to do today as believers, to run this race of faith. There's a whole slew of individuals who've gone before us, who've been running this race and have ran the race, and now they have received their reward. The Christian life, the life of faith and obedience, is given here as an illustration. It's a metaphor, an athletic metaphor that illustrates for us how we press through in this journey of faith that we're on. And it helps us to see that, you know, the Christian faith is not just some mental exercise where we just study a bunch of facts and information and just contemplate it and speculate about what things might be and what they might be in the future. The race gives you and me a picture this morning that we're fleshing out the faith. We're running with energy and exertion sometimes, and we're progressing. We're making progress. There's a path that we're on, a journey that we're on, and our eyes should be fixed on the finish line and the one who's at the finish line to reward us for our faith. A race, listen, if you've ever run a race, and I mean, sometimes I'd get those boys outside and make them race against one another, right, and challenge them, and they would challenge one another, it's activity. It means you and I have to do something with this faith, and there's a course that's set before us. Your course is not my course. No one has the same course, but the thing is, they all end at the same destination, the throne of God. So whatever that course is before you, embrace it today. Wherever you may be down that course, embrace it and choose today to run with faith. Choose today to complete the course God has set before you. I'm grateful to know he's on his throne and he's in control of my course. Amen? He knows where I'm to run. And anything that you experience this way as you exercise your faith this week, it'll be sifted through his fingertips before it reaches you. That's encouraging to me as I run my race of faith. I'm not experiencing anything today where God says, well, that wasn't in the plan. No, it's all part of his plans, his purposes, his ways, which are so much higher than yours and mine. Now, I don't know about you, but some people say, well, I feel like I'm in a race. Pastor Chris, actually, I feel like I'm in a rat race, right? I feel like I'm running in circles, like, you know, the little mice, like in Miss Wenzel's zoo, right? All those little mice that get on the little wheel. If you got one of them in there, we need to get you one of them. And then little rats, you used to have one of them hamsters and everything, right? Ever feel like that, the race you're running? Did you know you can feel like that even in the Christian faith? Like you're just going, a lot of movement, but you're going nowhere. A lot of activity, but you're not seeing the progress. We want to see the progress as we mature. Remember, it's over in Hebrews chapter 6 that we were told, listen, press on to maturity. You have a responsibility. God's not just going to do this in your life. You have that responsibility to exercise your faith, to work out what God has worked in, to work out that salvation. And your responsibility is to put some exertion into it, spiritual exertion, spiritual work. And it happens as we run this race. In fact, the Christian life shouldn't be feel like we're running around in circles and circles. It should be like that cross country. I'm going up and down, and God is sustaining me. And sometimes there's a mountain before me, but what can move a mountain? Faith. Just a little mustard seed of it. We learned that. You see, that's how we press forward. Well, how do I run this race of faith, Pastor Chris? What is Paul saying to us? What is God's word saying to me this morning that I need to fix my eyes on? There's three things that I see that we should be looking at and realizing. First, notice he says this, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, look and see those that are gathered around you that are watching. Now, he's listed several, many think over here in Hebrews chapter 11, the Old Testament saints, some named, some not named. Their experience in testifying that they walked by faith, they ran by faith, they journeyed by faith. That's what they all shared in common. They all had a different course. I mean, some, you know, their faith subdued kingdoms, some worked righteousness, some obtained promises, some stopped the mouth of lions. They didn't all have the same experiences, but they all exhibited the same faith. And that's what we need to realize. My race, my course, whatever it is the opportunity for you and me to exercise faith. Now, some would say this athletic metaphor, you think more of a stadium, right? Of course, Paul's writers would understand that. There were the great Greek Olympic Games. Every city-state had their competitions and these massive stadiums where people would gather and watch those who run. And yet what's amazing here, it's not as though, you know, Abraham and Sarah, David and Moses, Rahab and all those who are listed there in the Old Testament. It's not like they're looking down on you and on me saying, let's go, get to finish the line. The word for witnesses here comes from the Greek word, which we get the word martyr from. Now, what's a martyr? A martyr is someone who bears witness in their life as they trusted God. They lost their life. But their life isn't dead. It still bears witness. Not to themselves so much, but what they believe God was able to do, how they trusted him. And they bear witness what God actually did through them. And that's all those that are listed there in Hebrews chapter 11. But what's fascinating is really that's what the Old Testament is written for. You can circle that word witnesses there in your Bible and draw a little line and just write Romans 15:4. Over in Romans, the book of Romans, Paul writes similarly as we find here in Hebrews. He writes this, for whatever things were written before were written for our learning. What was written before? The Old Testament. Paul says the things, the scriptures that were written, they were written for our instruction, for our learning. Why? That through, listen to this, through the patience and comfort of the scriptures, we might have hope. Through the patience and comfort of the scriptures, we might have hope. What is patience? That word means endurance. What is comfort? The word means encouragement. That we draw endurance, we draw encouragement, we draw patience and comfort when I read in the scriptures about those who ran the race before us. I'm learning from them. You should be learning from them. One of the best ways to develop that endurance and encouragement is to get around with other godly men and women and to open the word and examine the lives of those who ran the race. They're all throughout the Old Testament. Those aren't merely moral lessons that we follow. They're spiritual lessons that we follow who encourage you and encourage me to choose to put your faith in an awesome God. Choose to put your faith in the God who is able to do the impossible. And what they demonstrate for us is the sufficiency of faith, the exercise of faith. And what you see in their life as they trusted God and they pressed forward, they developed endurance and strength. You think about Joseph and all the problems he had. All the problems he had, and everywhere, time and again, I mean, it seemed like he wasn't having hills and valleys. It just seemed like it was valley after valley after valley after valley, right? Until the end. And you see how his persistence in faith gave him encouragement and endurance and strength so that he could finish his race by being obedient to the Lord. Sometimes, listen, they accepted trials without wavering in their faith. Why? That's written for you and I to learn from that. So that you and I don't grow weary in the faith. We don't waver in the faith. We continue to press forward. When you're having, listen, stop and think about this. You're having trouble at your work. You got a big task before you, something that seems impossible. Study the life of Moses. Figure out how you can get 3 million people into the promised land, right? You're not going to do that. You're going to need Almighty God. You're having trouble, having difficulty, having not sure what to do in your family, raising your kids. I mean, stop and think about Joseph and his brothers. I mentioned them. I mean, they wanted to kill him, right? Oh, that's a lovely family to live in, right? And yet, did Joseph waver in his faith? Oh, no, he trusted God. He knew the dreams. He knew the words that had been spoken to him. And he built his life on that. And he saw, even in the end, what some meant for evil, God meant for good. What a perspective to have. And what a perspective I need, you need, as we navigate life. Trusting, believing what God says. Want to retaliate sometime? David certainly did. I mean, you got someone chucking spears at you. And here he is in a cave, lying down. And your servants are saying, go ahead, take him out. Take him out. And David says, no, I know the word of the Lord. Touch not the Lord's anointed. I'm not going to do it. And he didn't take out King Saul. You see, these things are written, why? So that you and I might learn from them. We might realize, listen, that there's one that we should trust in. There's one who is faithful. There's one who does great and amazing things. Even when you're faced with great doubt and uncertainty, perhaps even a crushing conflict that makes you want to throw in the towel, you choose to believe, no, my God is able. My God's ways are not my ways. I need to trust him. Even, listen, students, when it's hard to live in the culture we live in and choose to do the right thing when everyone around you is doing the wrong thing. You got to be like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You got to have faith in those moments to trust God and to go forward and believe that God is able to deliver. You see, they fought through. They're written for us. This great cloud of witnesses, they bear witness of what God did in and through them. And they trusted him. And now they stand victorious. They weren't looking at their current living in the current world. Their eyes were fixed on the city whose builder was God. That's what they were looking for and waiting for. And so should you and so should I. They tell us, listen, when you're going through suffering, you're not alone. You're not the only one. You're not the only one that's been through that valley of Baca, Psalm 84, the valley of weeping. When you pass through the deep, dark waters, there's a God who ensures us that we will not be swept away or overcome by them. When you go through the fiery furnace and your faith is refined, you're not the only one who goes through the fires. There's one who stands with you in the midst of the fire. It's a faithful God, a true God, the one who led them, upheld them, sustained them. And now they saw his victory through their conflicts. And even when they didn't win, it says here that they obtained the best witness and testimony. And that they, like us, praise God, are perfected by him. This is to encourage you. Listen, today, take a step forward. Choose to believe what God says. What God in your course that's set before you, what God has called you to do, be found faithful. Go forward in faith and do what God has said to do. I mean, David would say, won't you? Listen, this poor man, I looked to the Lord and he heard me. They looked at him and their faces radiated. This poor chap here, this poor man, he looked and God sustained him. Oh, taste and see, the Lord is good. Go forward in faith. Choose to believe God is who he says he is, able to do what he says he's able to do. They sealed their testimony oftentimes in blood. Because you see, God's not always promised us easy paths. That's what we think a lot of times. But there may be some difficulties, some hardships, some rather, you know, trying times that we go through. But God doesn't change. He is the same faithful, true God. Now, the other thing about this cloud of witnesses is just not just what they testify of God is able to do, but also you and I should be reminded they're not perfect examples, right? They're not perfect men and women. Noah was a drunk and Jacob was a deceiver. Samson was one who was, you know, he had great strength, but he also had great lust. David, we know his sins as well. None of them were perfect. And that's a good, healthy reminder for us today because I'm not either. Neither are you. But you know what? I can exercise faith just like they did. That's the pattern that is put before us. Identifying, recognizing, I need to have faith just like they did. I need to draw encouragement from their lives. Why? Because they're made from clay just like you and me. But we go forward in faith. You see, the reason that's important is sometimes when you and I see our shortcomings and we realize, you know what? I look at my sin and I wonder, you know what? Throw in the towel. You're ready to despair and give up, but you need to lift up your eyes and see there is a cloud of witnesses that are around us. Their lives bearing witness to us of all kinds of evils and challenges and struggles and conflicts and obstacles, and yet they went forward. Now, you look at them, but also you need to look at yourself. That's the second part, right? Because we got this great cloud of witnesses who bear witness to us and testify, the martyrs, those who bear witness even through their blood, their loss of life. Listen to this. Let us lay aside every weight. This is speaking about you and me. I need to look at me. Let's lay aside the weights that hinder us, the sin which so easily ensnares us. The idea is tripping us up. That we may run the race with endurance. What race? The one that God has set before us. You know, when you're training, when you're preparing to run the race, you know, Olympic athletes, when they're training, you know, sometimes they'll do all kinds of things to make their bodies stronger, and they'll use weights sometimes. I know some of y'all like to do that power walking, and you got the little weights you hold in your hands, and you walk and you pump your arms when you walk through the neighborhood, and you know, the more you pump your arms, the faster your legs go, and you're exercising, and we do that. But if you're running a race, you don't carry those in your hands. No, you want your hands to be free, right? Just imagine me running down the track, right? You football players, you know, you want to strengthen your legs. Those wide receivers, they get those chutes that they, you know, they run and they don't play in the game with those things on. No, some DB or cornerback just grab that, pull up. No. But why do they practice that way? Why do they train with those weights? To make themselves stronger, right? But they don't participate in the contest with those things. And so there are some good weights that we can use to strengthen us, but be careful that good things don't hinder you in your progress, right? But there's also some bad things, some things that we don't want. And what is it? The one thing he mentions here is the sin that so easily ensnares us, trips us up. It entangles our feet. And if there's anything you learn in the Christian life, it's this: sin will really stick to you sometimes. Sin will really cause you to get tripped up. And it clings to every single one of us. Don't act holier than thou, please, in this moment, right? No. Because I think of Paul, who wrote this epistle, and I think of what he wrote over in Romans chapter 7. And even he gives you and me the understanding, listen, that you know what? Here's a warning. Here's an example. Sin is a real threat. Because sometimes there's the things that we want to do that we don't do. And there's the things we don't want to do that we do. And it's sin. And Paul, even himself, exasperated in some ways, and at the moment, just looking and going, Oh, wretched man that I am, who'll set me free from this body of sin? Well, praise be to God, there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. That's our hope. You run that race when you got to be putting to death that sin. You've got to lay it aside. By the way, you're not shackled by it anymore. Christ came to set us free. That's the encouragement for us today. The power of sin, because of what Christ has done, we no longer face the penalty of sin. I mean, we just sang that wonderful hymn, right? My sin, I bear it no more, right? Christ has borne that for you and for me, and it's nailed to the cross. Praise the Lord. Sometimes you need to preach that to yourself, amen? Remind yourself of what Jesus has done for you. But it's not just the penalty, the wages of sin is death, that he's paid there at the cross. It's the power of sin that now has no power over you and over me. Our lusts, our desires no longer have to reign over us. We, through the power of the Spirit, can reign over it. And they don't have to control us any longer. And so cast those things aside. Lay it aside. What's tripping you up? How are you going to do that? By faith. You and I can't do it in our own strength. You can't be good enough to do it. It's crucifying the flesh. The only way you can crucify yourself. No one can crucify themselves. If I gave you 3 nails and a hammer, you could hammer your feet. It would hurt. You could hammer your hand, but you couldn't hammer this third point. It's complete abandonment and trust. It's faith. Do this work in my heart, oh God. Have mercy on me. God, crucify this flesh. Lord, don't let me make any provision for it. Let me yield to you. Now, he doesn't specify what the sin is. There's some sin that so easily entangles us. But can I mention one sin that he's mentioned in Hebrews, which is, I believe, essential and helpful here to understand something about this? He says over in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 7 and 15, and chapter 4, verse 7, he says this. He specifies a sin which hinders people from going forward in their journey of faith to reach the promised land that God has for them. And you know what that sin is? Unbelief. And did you know whatever is not of faith is sin? That's what Paul says in Romans. Whatever is not of faith is sin. Or was it James that says that? Listen, you and I, when we don't, I think they both said it. We both, when we don't exhibit faith, it's sin. When we don't trust in God, the unbelief is what kept Israel out of the promised land. They didn't go forward in faith. That's why the invitation, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to win the victory of faith. Today is the day to go forward. And the thing that hinders us is choosing to believe. He is able. He is faithful. This is his good work for me. And this great cloud of the faithful, that listen, they had doubts at times too. But beloved, don't let that sin trip you up from going forward. You know, when you and I entertain thoughts, listen, when we entertain thoughts that are defeated thoughts, right? It won't be long until you're living a defeated life. Choosing not to believe God is able. And I'll tell you, this world will say that to you, and the little imps and the devil out there, it'll say those things to you. And sometimes my old flesh will say that. No, I'll just give up. You got no hope. This isn't positive thinking. This is faith. Exercising faith. Taking God at his word and choosing to believe. God, I don't know how, but I choose to believe you are, and I want to see you work. Here I am. Do your good work. And I choose to believe. You have to choose to believe. This is how we mature. This is how we go forward from the milk to the meat in our journey of faith. We grow up and we realize how important it is to exercise faith and to trust God. Now, if you're not intaking a lot of the word, you don't have much to believe in. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of the Lord. Faith is built on what God has said. I have to trust him. I need to have let that word dwell richly in me. That's what's going to help sustain me. It's going to give me strength. And you know the amazing thing? When you go to these races or, you know, these track meets, it's fascinating to me when you stop and watch the Olympics, right? When you see them running around the track. I mean, do you realize how many thousands and thousands and thousands of people are just mere spectators and just a few people are actually running? And what's amazing is, that's some way how it is in the church. A lot of people are just spectators and they're not running the race. You have to run the race. We are all running the race. Newsflash. When you came to faith in Christ, it wasn't just a one-time decision. Well, I look to him and I'm saved now. No. You just started the race of faith. And you've got to exercise that faith. That's why Paul would say in Philippians, work out what God has worked in. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling as you navigate life. Don't grumble and complain about the circumstances. Those are what God allows in your course to strengthen your faith, to draw you closer to him. And your race is different than my race. Your course is different than my course. So don't compare yourself to, well, why does she get that and I get this? No. Thank God you got what he gave you and that he gives us everything we all need as we run that race. But work out what God has worked in. This is the opportunity. We're out of the blocks. You may have just made a decision for Christ. You may have made a decision 40, 50, 60 years ago. Well, let's just run today. Run the race of faith today. God, make us stronger. Give us endurance. Lord, help me to throw aside these weights and run this race with an intention to win. Running to win. Why? Not because of what's in me, not because of what's in you, because of what's in him. You see, we look at the witnesses and we know God is faithful. They've borne witness to that. We look at ourselves and realize there's some things that'll hinder me as I go forward, but we look ultimately to Jesus. You see, that's verse 2. Looking unto him, Jesus. Notice this interestingly. The author and finisher of our faith. Whoa, that's pretty heavy. What does that mean? Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, what is an author? The author is the originator. The faith that you and I have, can I just give you a little newsflash, some things to wrestle with in Scripture? Jesus gave us this faith. You see, that's what it says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8, 9, and 10. For by grace you are saved through faith, and that's not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. What's God's gift, the grace or the faith? Yes. God's word makes it crystal clear. He gives it, you exercise it. I don't know, it's a mystery how it happens. That's what Nicodemus had to figure out with Jesus, right? But what is crystal clear is God, according to this, originates it. Now, I exercise it. And you know what? As I work out what he's worked in, ultimately, he ensures that he's going to perfect it. He's going to complete it. He's the finisher of our faith. Praise God. That's what Paul would say over in Philippians, that he is confident that he who began the good work in him was faithful to do what? Complete it. You see, as you run this race, I have greater faith because I know, listen, I'm trusting in him and he has promised that he is faithful and he is true. And the good work that he has begun in me, praise God, he's going to finish one day. I got to do my part. I got to work out what he's worked in. But the amazing thing is the promise right here. Jesus started it and ensures I'm going to finish it. And he's the one that is the example that I'm to look to. He's the enabler, but he's the example that I live in. Why? Because, see, over in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 13, if you go over there and you see what Paul quoted about our Lord and the comment that the Lord Jesus made, Jesus said, I will put my trust in him, quoting from Isaiah chapter 8, verse 17. Jesus, when he walked in this flesh, listen, when he put this on to redeem you and me, he also modeled for us and demonstrates for us our responsibility to walk by faith, looking to the Father and trusting in him. He was tempted at times by the devil not to trust in the Father, but to go ahead and use his own power that he had. Go ahead. If you're hungry, you're starving, you haven't ate for 40 days, just take a couple of these rocks and make them into some biscuits. Make them into bread. No. Man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the Father. What sustains us? What strengthens us? What do I need? I need the word. And see, then my faith comes from hearing the word as I choose to believe it. The devil tempted him all the time. But what Jesus demonstrated in his example is this. Look to the Father. Trust in him. Have faith in him. And Jesus saw the Father's plan. Listen, for the joy set before him, he knew ultimately the Father would raise him. He would actually lay down his life and take it up on his own. The Word testified to all of that. But he trusted the Father and endured for you and me the cross. I mean, you want to talk about a trial, right? You want to talk about something severe and bearing witness? Listen, Jesus did that. He endured all of that for what would come after. The cross before the crown. He willingly, listen, didn't hold on to equality with God, but emptied himself and took on the form of a servant. He took on human flesh in the form of man. Why? Because as a servant, he came to die. But praise God, he also rose from the dead. And as we sang earlier, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess, Jesus Christ is Lord. Now you and I are supposed to do that now, while the opportunity is presented before us, to walk by faith and choose to believe he is who he says he is. And know that he has promised us, listen, a great reward, a future hope, as we walk forward in faith and we just follow his example. He's the enabler. He gives us the power, the strength, to go forward in faith. You know, I think it's fascinating. I mean, we talk about all these heroes, Moses, David, Rahab, Sarah, Abraham, Abel, all those examples of faith. You know what's fascinating? They provide an example or a testimony to us that their faith was realized, listen, by God working in them and through them. Now, the amazing thing is, you know, when I was a kid, I thought I could be like Michael Jordan. And I would compete with my brother in this thing called Nerf Hoop. And it was great. Every kid should have these things, right? And you put that on the back of your door, and we play Nerf Hoop. And we could dunk like Mike. I mean, we could windmill it and, you know, take off with our tongue hanging out and dunk. And it was really amazing. And you know what? I'd get on the basketball court, and I'd be like, I can't do that. What if, when I was a little kid, if Michael Jordan really could have come and dwelt inside of me and enabled me to dunk like Mike, that would be pretty amazing. You see, this is the difference in all those heroes, all those clouds of witnesses that surround us and testify to us what God is able to do by faith when you and I trust in him. You see, Jesus isn't like them in this way. He actually does come to dwell within them. He dwells within us by his divine power, by the Spirit of God. That's what Peter would tell us. Everything you and I need for life and godliness is available to us, listen, because his divine power is given everything that we need. His Spirit dwells within us. His Spirit gives us understanding of his word. His Spirit gives us the power to live out and flesh out the faith. And so while these names are great and their testimony are great and we should learn from them and our faith should be refined, ultimately I've got to look to Jesus and trust in him. And that's where you and I every day have to make that daily decision. He must increase, I must decrease. That I have to walk in faith. I find life in dying to self as I trust in him. And in that pathway, that course that he has for you, your race, what he wants you and I to do is to learn to trust him more, to yield to him more, to surrender to him more, to give our life over to him more. And by faith, watch him do his work. And so the truth is, this morning, some of us need to lace up our shoes for the race of faith. The journey of faith, again, it's not a sprint. All right? It's not a 100-meter dash. It's not the 200-meter hurdles. Okay? It's one of those endurance races like my buddy did down there in Charlotte. It's all your life. But each day, today is the day. It's all I have to live. It's all you have to live today. Tomorrow's got enough troubles of its own, okay? Today. Where do I exercise faith? Where do I choose to believe God is who he says he is? Today. That's all we have to worry about today. Walk by faith. Take him at his word and choose to believe. Listen, run, look around you. There's a cloud of witnesses. As we all study these godly examples in God's word, other godly examples around us, encouraging us, Hebrews chapter 10. Listen, let's encourage one another, especially as we day to see the day approaching. Let's keep going. We're going to reach the finish line. Don't you give up. Don't throw in the towel. Don't pull up lame before the final finish line. No. Let's all reach there. Choose to believe God is. You're not alone in that conflict, that obstacle, that trial you're going through. Others have pressed through. But ultimately, don't look at your own strength. Actually, throw aside the weights, what's holding you back. Choose to look to Jesus. He is the one who sustains you and strengthens you as you go forward each and every day. I mean, stop and think about it. He's the great high priest, right? That's what we've learned. He's there interceding for us on our behalf. Why wouldn't I run to him and cry out for his mercies? Why wouldn't I go to him in my time of need and find the grace to sustain me and strengthen me? Many others have done that. And that's what you and I have to choose to do today. Maybe I need to get on the altar today and renew my strength by saying, God, I want to walk by faith and trust you.
Thank you for joining us today on the River of Life broadcast. If you want to know more about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, please call us at South River at 704-876-1520 or email us at hope@southriverbaptist.com. We also want to know how this program has blessed your life. Please send us a note and let us know you are listening and how our church family can pray for you. We invite you to join us here next Sunday or at our church location at 2659 South Chipley Ford Road in Statesville.